When you make decisions for your company, you look for the no-brainers. And if you have a lot of mailing to do, Stamps.com is the ultimate no-brainer. Mail checks, invoices, documents, and everything you need to keep your business running. Get rates up to 89% off USPS and UPS. And with the mobile app, you can take care of mailing on the go. Make the same no-brainer decisions as over 1 million other businesses with Stamps.com. Sign up at Stamps.com with code PROGRAM for a special offer. That's Stamps.com, code PROGRAM.
Why has Triple H been so successful? Why is Triple H running WWE better than Vince McMahon and Bruce Prichard on Monday and Friday night? Long-term booking.
Much for joining me right here on Off the Script. This is your Friday Night SmackDown post show for April 26th, 2024. I am your host, JD from New York, as always, coming to you live from the OTS venue. Thank you guys so very much for joining me on your Friday nights, wherever you may be. Before we even walk into the venue, my guy David M. Well, the $100 super chat, he says, praying JD comes out in a neck brace. You know, I got people in the community that want to put me in a neck brace, but no, I will not be coming out in a neck brace. And if I did come out in a neck brace, I'd sell it better than Tony Khan did. I don't know why he's in a neck brace. I mean, the Tony Khan driver isn't really impactful. I mean, the move is a fucking piece of shit, right? The Meltzer driver, the Tony Khan driver, whatever the fuck they're calling it. Man, what a horrendous move. It's like one guy's doing acrobatics and the other guy's fucking doing a half-ass tombstone. Well, what is the guy coming off the top rope actually doing but flipping in the fucking air? Does he add anything to the move? What a dumb fucking move, huh? Anyway, we're not here to talk about AEW, even though Tony Khan said AEW is Pepsi and WWE is the evil Harvey Weinstein. It's a great job there, TK, man. Yeah, three steps forward today, man. You're doing such a good job, man, for a couple hours, and then you take fucking 18 steps back. What the fuck are you doing, man? Seriously, what the fuck is wrong with this guy? Jesus Christ. Anyway.
Oh, JD, he's anti-AEW. Oh, my God.
Yes, I'm anti-AEW. If I was anti-AEW in the chat, who was it? I don't even, where is he? Anti-AEW. I don't even see him. He must have got benched. If I was anti-AEW, I would have cut AEW from the fucking weekly rotation like I did NXT. Come on. The fuck does that even mean? Anti-AEW. Ridiculous. Anybody that says I'm anti-AEW, Hooligan, get him out. Let's get him out. I don't give a fuck. If they're a member, if they're starting shit and they've been here for a while, get him out. I don't even give a shit. You don't belong here because clearly you don't know the vibe that we're setting. You don't know the guy sitting on the other end of this screen. You want to make judgments and you want to cast judgments. Seriously? Give me a break, man. Come on. Anyway. SmackDown tonight. I was excited for the draft. Tonight didn't really do anything to live up to my excitement. I thought tonight was a very lackluster show. It didn't really even begin to shake the foundation of WWE. No foundation was shook. Oh my goodness, there's a fucking spider. Holy shit.
Roger.
Bro, there was a fucking spider on my wall that was the size of my fucking mouse, my mouse. Holy shit, dude. Oh my goodness, man. Is he dead? I'm gonna put my fucking slippers on, man. Now man, I swear to God, man. I swear to God. They're gonna call me JD the fucking spider hunter. Never mind fucking Nate. Man, you know, you ever see a now I'm gonna be paranoid the whole fucking show, man. Seriously. You ever see a spider and then it quickly disappears and you can't fucking find it because you wanna kill it? Man, your whole fucking skin crawls, man. It's like you itch and you get the sensation that something's crawling on you even though it's not there. I mean, I'm done, man. I'm done. He may be on the bottom of my fucking shoe, man. I grabbed whatever I could. Motherfucker better be dead, bro. I swear to God. Fucking paranoid now, bro. Killing spider. I don't give a fuck what it is. Spider, ant, fly. I don't give a shit, man. You're invading my space. Get the fuck out. This fucking guy. David M. with a $99.99. That spider makes you more in fear of your life than Tony Khan. Another round of applause. I fear for my life. I fear for my life, man. Anyway, SmackDown. All of a sudden, I just seen something just fucking like jump from the fucking computer screen to the wall, man, right behind. What the fuck is going on here? I'm sweating bullets now, man. Holy shit. I take my fucking hoodie off, but I got a shirt that's going to blend into the green screen. You're going to see right through me. I can't do that. Anyway, SmackDown tonight, I was excited about the draft. And then tonight's show was very lackluster. It didn't really live up to any of the excitement that I initially had going into tonight's show. Very, very lame, honestly. The picks were not all that surprising. The foundation, like I was saying before, I was rudely interrupted by Spider Bitch over here. The foundation was not really shook. And I don't really think we're going to get much change until Monday. There's a three-hour show on Monday. There's a lot more as far as the pool of superstars to be drafted are concerned on Monday than there were on Friday tonight. But the draft tonight didn't really open up any real change at all. We got a couple of NXT call-ups. We got a couple of superstars going from one brand to the other. But nothing really surprising, nothing really super exciting to get excited about at the end of tonight's show. But I do think that they're saving everything for Monday. The biggest takeaway for the show tonight was the fact that WWE tried to tinker with the draft. They didn't really do much of anything. There wasn't no comedy. They tried to really give you I don't want to say a sports presentation, but, you know, Vince tried to make a mockery of it. Vince tried to fuck around with it and make light of it. He didn't really care. It was just something in the calendar that WWE felt like they had to do. And most of the time, it was very disappointing. Other times, they use it as a ratings ploy, and they put it on in the part of the year where it legitimately made no sense. At least now, after WrestleMania, it makes all the sense in the world to do it after WrestleMania. Vince used to wait until October, November to do the draft, and it didn't really make any sense because at that time, WWE was doing the brand versus brand Survivor Series matches. And you can't really have brand supremacy if you've been drafted to a show that you've only been a part of for 1 month. It was absolutely ridiculous. So WWE did try to tinker. They changed the rules of the draft. They tried to make sense of a couple of things. As I say that, And what I mean by that is champions, they were not eligible for the draft. So Cody Rhodes was not eligible for the draft because I think if Cody was a part of the draft, I think everybody's first pick would be Cody Rhodes. So Cody Rhodes was not a part of the draft. Sami Zayn was not a part of the draft. Becky Lynch was not a part of the draft. The tag team champions, Miz and R-Truth, Austin Theory, Grayson Waller, they're not a part of the draft. Tag team champions for the ladies, I mean, they can go to any brand they want, I guess. So I don't know if they were exempt from the brand, from the draft tonight. Bayley was exempt from the draft. Champions, the biggest change was that champions were exempt from the draft, which was a great thing. I love that. Such a subtle change that Vince never really thought to do, because why would we need champions to change shows? Why do we need championships to change shows? So I'm glad that they did that and they made that little change. So the draft rules were very simple. SmackDown, there was four tonight, four rounds and 16 total picks. On Raw, there will be six rounds and 24 total picks. Champions on each brand are protected, so they cannot be a part of the draft. They stay where they are, which is a great move. It's a great move. Women's tag team champions are eligible. SmackDown got the first pick on Friday. Raw will get the first pick on Monday. And the rosters lock Monday, May 6th, which means that WWE in that time, I believe, can make trades or send someone to NXT and someone gets called up from NXT to the main roster. I think that's where you'll see some of the online part of the draft take place. So WWE, you know, it's not really, oh my God, they changed the draft for the better, but they tried to make sense and simplify it and make it a little bit more logical than Vince used to make it. So that's very much appreciated. They had the War Rooms tonight, and they had a Monday Night Raw War Room and the SmackDown War Room. And in the War Room were obviously Adam Pearce for Raw and Nick Aldis for SmackDown. And then they had help. They had help from Hall of Famers. Torrey Wilson was there. Michelle McCool was there. The Dudley Boys were there. Both D-Von and Bubba Ray. JBL was there. Teddy Long was there. And we're going to get more on Monday as well. Nice rotation of Hall of Fame talent to help the general managers facilitate this draft and pick who they need to for their specific show. So I like that. There was no comedy. There was no over-the-top fucking cheering. Oh, my God, we got Natalya. Oh, my God, what a fucking draft pick. Natalya's on Monday night. Give me a fucking break. Nobody's cheering for fucking Natalya. Picking Natalya on Monday night. Give me a break. It wasn't comedy. There wasn't over-the-top cheesiness. Very low-key, very simple. But the excitement of it, I didn't really feel any excitement coming out of tonight's show, man. It was very, very dumbed down and very... It's just unexciting. Just unexciting for what they did with the draft. There was NXT talent that got called up. Carmelo Hayes, he got called up. He's officially on the show. That was in the rumor mill. Ilya Dragunov will probably get drafted on Monday. He's a part of the draft as well. They've already announced that. Kiana James got called up from NXT. Who? Yes, Kiana James. So she got called up. And Bron Breakker, who was already a part of SmackDown, they drafted him to Monday Night Raw, which I will kind of rant about when we get to that point in the show. But Bron Breakker, Carmelo Hayes, and Kiana James were the only NXT alum that were on tonight's show. Carmelo Hayes had a bigger role than most. He was in the main event against Cody Rhodes and the AEW tribalism and the AEW tribalists and the AEW cult are all ganging up with their pitchforks on all the podcasters. Where are you guys to complain about it? We'll get to it. We'll talk about it. I love making people look stupid, man. We'll talk about it, man. A lot of people are like, oh, where's that same energy, man? You know, the energy you gave Swerve and Kyle Fletcher, man. Where's that energy for Cody Rhodes? And Carmelo Hayes. One company knows what they're doing. The other does not. The fuck do you want me to say? We'll go over it. Also, Backlash. Backlash is fully mapped out. We got a full card for Backlash. And the Bloodline. They continue to be the best part of SmackDown 3 weeks in after WrestleMania. And the presentation of Tama Tonga has been unbelievable so far. So we will go over all of that right here on Off the Script. I want to thank you guys so very much for joining me. Even though I'm a little thrown off my game because I don't know if this fucking thing is alive or dead. I really don't. I smashed him with my fucking slipper. And then I didn't see where he goes. He might be one of those indestructible spiders. I don't know. And now I got to do the whole fucking show with my slippers on because I don't want anything crawling on me. Fucking ridiculous. I hate bugs, man. It's the one thing you know about me, man. I hate bugs. I hate spiders. I hate fucking reptiles. I'm afraid of bees. Can't do it. You want to see me run for my life and fear for my life like Tony Khan, man? Throw me outside and a fucking swarm of bees is going around outside, man. I'll fucking run the 50-mile dash in about fucking 10 seconds. Ridiculous. Anyway, thank you guys for joining me on this Friday night. Oh, my God. David M. What the fuck is... I didn't even see David M. I had the chat closed. I got to get to David M. in a second. Thank you guys so much for joining me on this Friday night. Follow me on social media, at JD from NY206. Twitter, Instagram, TikTok, and Cameo. Hit that subscribe button down below. See, I'm already feeling itches on my feet now, man, and my legs. I'm like, what the fuck is crawling on me? Follow me on social media, at JD from NY206. Twitter, Instagram, TikTok, and Cameo. Hit that subscribe button down below. Turn on the bell for all notifications. Hit that thumbs up. We got 469 likes with 2,500 in here right now, man. That's fucking unacceptable. I'm going to need at least 1,000. So if you're in the chat room and you hate fucking spiders and bugs like I do, hit that thumbs up. Go check out all the other content on the channel. It's been a great week, man. This is the best month in the history of the podcast, and I mean that. I thought February was the best. April blew February out of the water. So thank you guys very much for that. We were live on Monday. We were live on Tuesday with my guy, Sir Wilkins, as a guest host on TNT. Very well received was my guy, Sir Wilkins. He did a fantastic job. Wednesday, I was live with Jesse and a mega rant on AEW and the wrongs that they did on Wednesday. So go check that out. So angry was AEW. My DMs were flooded. I wish I could tell you from who. Not many people in that company are happy with me, man. I don't know. Maybe you should book better fucking television. Live on Wednesday. Took yesterday off. Uploaded a video today going over all of the aftermath of Wednesday. Plus, we talked about WWE ending the PG era. And poor Cameron Grimes, man. Cameron Grimes was lied to by upper management in WWE. He was told he'd have a job for life, and then he was fired a week later. Great. So go check all that stuff out. Don't know where I'll be this weekend, but I'll be tuning into Collision to see what Tony Khan has planned for Swerve Strickland. Next week, Tuesday night, the next line of co-hosts for TNT will be Ango from The Ango Show on Tuesday night. And man, I'm already feeling a fire episode. I already asked him, bro, you ready? He's bringing the heat. And we got a lot to discuss, man. We're going to go over this entire AEW dilemma right before we get into Wednesday's Dynamite. So make sure you guys tune into that. And then the following Wednesday, literally the next day, I will be announcing the new co-host for Tuesday Night Titans. Who is it? I don't know. I know who it is, but I don't know. I don't know if you guys are going to like him. I don't know if you guys are familiar with him. I'm excited. Jesse's excited. The people that I told, they're excited. Hopefully it goes off pretty well, man. We'll figure it out. And I just got an email from Deviate, my design team, I got the new TNT intro all ready to go. It's in my Adobe Premiere. We'll be premiering that son of a bitch tomorrow on Twitter. Oh, man. Oh, man. I watched it back about six times tonight, man. I'm in love with it. I'm in love with it. If I'm this in love with it, I know you guys are going to be blown away by it, man. The venue, my mother's basement, the OG venue, inside and outside, the beer garden. We've done a lot of shit with Deviate, man. When I tell you that this is simply the best work that they've ever done, period, for me or anybody else, changing the game. When I tell you nobody looks like us, nobody. And tonight's show is sponsored by Blue Chew, BlueChew.com. Blue Chew, code JD at checkout. Go get your free sample on me. If you're lacking that confidence, I certainly wasn't lacking any confidence when I killed this fucking spider just before. Even though I was fearing for my life. BlueChew.com. Code JD at checkout. Free sample. All you got to do is pay the $5 shipping and handling. Is Jesse the new co-host for TNT? No, he's not. Jesse was never in consideration. Love Jesse, but he was never in consideration. David M. with another $100 bond. David M., I don't know what the fuck's going on over there, brother, but we love you here, man. Forget this draft. Forget this SmackDown. Let's pivot and listen to Aphex Twin all night. Bro, I don't know who that is. I'm gonna sub in Alter Bridge for Aphex Twin, okay? I don't know who that is. If that's something you like, man, good for you. Enjoy it and enjoy a cold beverage. I'll buy. It's on me. Nobody messes with the playlist in the venue. SmackDown tonight. Let's get into this show, even though it was lackluster. Paul Heyman. He started. See, I feel something crawling on me, bro. Seriously, I don't know what the fuck it is, man. I know I killed it. I think I killed it, but I feel something crawling on me. I may have to, I swear to God, man, I'm fearing for my life right now. I may have to end the stream. Ridiculous. Now something's flying around. What the fuck is it? Bug hour here? At least that one won't fucking kill me. Paul Heyman. He's with Caleb Braxton in the back. Caleb Braxton in the back, not Braxta. Caleb Braxton in the back. Heyman said that Roman Reigns has withdrawn himself from the draft. He said it wasn't a negative, but that's a positive. Heyman said Reigns is the biggest star in the industry and has built SmackDown since the pandemic. Heyman said Reigns didn't need to hog the number one pick when he won't be around in the near future. He said that's what a real tribal chief does. Heyman said the pressure is on Nick Aldis. He said if Reigns isn't the first pick, who is? Heyman said the first two picks will make history in the new era. Did they make history in the new era? Probably not. I did not get any history-making feeling coming out of the first two picks. Or maybe he thought it was going to be Solo Sikoa and Tama Tonga. I don't know. That also didn't happen either. Then they show Jackie Redmond, who is in Orlando at the Performance Center. That's exactly where I would want to be. Orlando or Cincinnati. Easy pick there. Jackie Redmond was shown in Orlando at the Performance Center with all of the NXT roster sitting within the Performance Center, watching SmackDown on the big screen. And NXT wrestlers surrounded her. Like I said, she asked who was next as the NXT wrestlers that are ready to get drafted up to the main roster. I don't know. We'll see. We'll figure it out. Cody Rhodes, he made his entrance. And we are getting a contract signing between Cody Rhodes and AJ Styles. Who's got better hair, Cody Rhodes or AJ Styles? The winner easily is AJ Styles. If we were grading on hair, AJ would be the world champion. Obviously, the crowd loved Rhodes. The contract signing here in the new era. You guys are like, oh, it's a new era. It's a new era, yeah. Vince's contract signings were very same old shit. We got one table on one side for AJ. We got one table on the other side for Cody Rhodes. And we got Corey Graves moderating and mediating the entire thing. So Styles raised up from his chair. He said before he signs this contract, he wanted to mention that two Georgia boys are going to wrestle for the first time for the WWE title. Styles says he knows why the crowd boos him and he accepts it. Styles said that he doesn't respect LA Knight. I don't know what LA Knight has to do with this, but okay. Like an ex-girlfriend who won't give up. I'm wrestling for the WWE title, but I gotta let you know I don't like LA Knight. Styles said he lost at WrestleMania, but he regained his composure and earned the right to face Rhodes at Backlash. Styles said he respected Rhodes. He said he and Rhodes had to prove themselves outside of WWE. He said Dusty Rhodes taught them both how to stand on their own two feet. Crowd started to chant for Dusty. Styles said he learned a lot from Dusty, and he was a good man. Styles said Dusty taught him how to carry himself and how to carry the weight of a champion. Styles said the weight of the title isn't just leather and gold. Styles said we're going to see if Rhodes can carry it at Backlash. Do me a favor. Somebody go check on David M. at the bar and see if he needs to be flagged. Seriously. David M. with another $100 super chat. He says, who has better hair? Tony's daddy's mustache, obviously. Listen, man, Shad Khan was on Dynamite at the end of the show, man. He made a bigger splash than his son did. David M., thank you for your generosity, brother. You are absolutely sitting at the fucking VIP table all by yourself tonight, man. Right under the fucking picture with the moving eyes. David M., thank you so much, brother. Cody Rhodes, he's sitting at his table with a contract. He raised the mic and asked the crowd, what do you want to talk about? Now, what do we want to talk about, Cody? I don't know. Figure it out. He says they could talk about respect. Rhodes said everyone in the locker room respects AJ Styles. Rhodes said he respected the roads that Styles took to get to WWE. He said the respect goes by the wayside at Backlash. Rhodes said Styles has been here before, and Styles is implying that Rhodes can't carry the weight of the title. Rhodes said his trainer told him, it's not about winning the title, it's about keeping it. Rhodes said it's a level playing field at Backlash. It's not a dream match for him, it's a must-win match for him. Rhodes signed the contract and handed it to Graves. Rhodes then stood up and extended his hand to AJ Styles for AJ to shake it. Styles lifted the mic and said it was a beautiful thing to see Rhodes finish his story. It's a shame, though, that your reign will have to end at Backlash. They ended up shaking hands. Styles then left. He stopped. He looked back at Cody. Cody looked back at him because AJ's a heel. He might have tried something dastardly or heinous and tried to attack Cody. That didn't happen. Styles left the ring and exited up the ramp. Rhodes then took his title off the podium and held it up for the crowd. It's a fine segment. It's a fine segment. Nothing really spectacular happened here. They didn't really do the typical WWE contract signing or AEW contract signing where, you know, they have choice words for each other and then a big brawl happens and someone goes through the table during the contract signing. That's a good thing because it made it feel like And I mean this. And I know a lot of people are going to shit on this, but WWE's got a pay-per-view legitimately as they are finishing up their draft. This is a fine match to do for Cody Rhodes as his first title defense immediately after they set the rosters up for the post-draft. It's a fine match. If there's a match that you're going to do, nobody should bitch or complain about this one. The thing that I love about this is that it ended so calmly and the contract signing went off. Not typical of a WWE contract signing. They both shook hands and went their separate ways. This leaves this particular match and feud to potentially continue on after Backlash because Cody is going to need an opponent after Backlash. And being that this match was basically made out of thin air with no heat going into it, and they're talking about respect, and they're talking about the roads that they paved to get here to this point, I feel like this is not going to be just a one-and-done deal. So I don't mind that at all. Because a feud between Cody Rhodes and AJ Styles, I can certainly get behind. And a couple of matches in this series, sign me up. I think it's going to be good stuff. And I'm ready for Cody as champion, man. It's nice. It's fresh to see Cody as champion, carrying the belt, carrying the brand. And it's just new. And I appreciate that. So we're going to see what happens at Backlash. I'm very excited to see what they can create in France for the WWE Championship. As soon as Rhodes posed with the title on the ramp, Triple H's music hit, and he comes out of Gorilla, and he held up Rhodes' hand, and then Paul Levesque, Triple H, asked Cody Rhodes to join him at the podium for the first round of draft picks to be announced. So Triple H welcomed everyone to the first round of the WWE draft. He said, it's a night that changes the landscape of WWE going forward. Triple H said, it's just as much about the GMs protecting the roster that they have than it is adding to it. Triple H then said, Rhodes is going to stay on SmackDown as the champions are protected, meaning that they will not be switching brands. Triple H said, Rhodes can read the SmackDown picks and he will read the Raw picks. So first, Cody Rhodes announces SmackDown, being that SmackDown is the show that we're on. They get the first pick. First pick for SmackDown is Bianca Belair. Bianca Belair is the first draft pick for WWE. I don't have a problem with that. I don't. The way I looked at it is, all right, they want to make sure that their women's roster is a priority in this draft, and Bianca Belair being chosen number one sets that tone. That's the way I interpreted this draft pick. And everybody else, listen, I mean, if you're asking me, if I'm SmackDown, I'm drafting Gunther, all right? Out of all the guys available, I'm drafting Gunther as my number one. Rollins is hurt, Punk is hurt. McIntyre may be a strong consideration as well. Cody can't be picked. I'm choosing Gunther. But the way that I interpret it as Bianca Belair, they want to focus on the women. And we're going to choose the top female in the division. That's Bianca Belair. No problem with that. Roman Reigns, I mean, El Mulato, listen, brother. I know you remember, bro. Listen, you got to pay attention, man. Open your ears. Roman already, via Paul Heyman, are you listening? Roman Reigns withdrew himself from the draft. Roman Reigns was not a part of the draft. Of course anybody would have chosen Roman over Bianca Belair. Get with the program. Come on. Rollins is hurt. Why would you draft Rollins when he's going to be out for 9 months? I don't get it. That would be a dumb pick. You want instant gratification for your draft pick. Surprised Rollins even went on this show. You just got in. Did you watch the show? I appreciate you watching me to fill you in on SmackDown, but this is what happened on the show. Cody Rhodes picks Bianca Belair, or said that SmackDown. He didn't pick. SmackDown picked Bianca Belair. Triple H announced Raw's first pick was Jey Uso. Jey Uso. Main event Jey Uso is staying on Raw, which is surprising to me. And I do feel that Jey Uso is going to be part of some sort of trade along the lines. That's what I feel. Because the Bloodline ended up staying on SmackDown. So Jey Uso is staying on Raw. Cody Rhodes says the next pick is Carmelo Hayes from NXT. So we got Carmelo Hayes up from NXT being chosen by SmackDown. This is the first time an NXT star has been picked in the first round of the draft. That says it all. WWE is incredibly high on Carmelo Hayes. Paul Levesque said he liked the pick for SmackDown, and then he announced the next pick. Monday Night Raw chooses Seth Rollins. So right now, Bianca Belair, SmackDown. Jey Uso, Raw. Carmelo Hayes, SmackDown. And Seth Rollins, Raw. So out of the first round of the draft this year, really nothing has changed so far outside of adding Carmelo Hayes to the SmackDown roster, which is a great move. Speaking of Carmelo Hayes, he made his entrance. Hayes comes out with a microphone and said when they talk about who's next and who's the hottest out, they talk about Carmelo Hayes. It was a huge whoop that trick crowd chant in Cincinnati. Hayes says, listen, I already did that. Hayes turned to Rhodes and said, he doesn't miss. He said, as a first-round pick, the best way to shoot his shot on SmackDown is to shoot against Cody Rhodes. Rhodes said, fortune favors the bold. Rhodes says he may have forgot his gear. He then said, you know what? I didn't forget it. I accept your challenge. And they shook hands. So the match was made. Carmelo Hayes versus Cody Rhodes in the main event of SmackDown tonight. Non-title match between a future piece of the company and the current face of WWE. Seen a lot of divisiveness on social media. Saw a couple of tweets come my way. Saw a couple of threads on social media in the recommended section. I hope all the podcasters, the anti-AEW podcasters, I hope they keep this same energy with Carmelo Hayes and Cody Rhodes like they did Swerve Strickland and Kyle Fletcher on Wednesday night. I knew this was going to raise a tribalistic discussion. So let's end it right here. Seen some people like, oh, I hope JD keeps that same energy. I hope JD shits on this, man. He shit on it on Wednesday. I will be doing no such thing. I will not be shitting on this. It's not the same thing as what we saw on Wednesday. First of all, let's call a spade a spade here. First of all, AEW took their world champion coming out of a major win on Sunday night against Samoa Joe and put him on Wednesday's show with no microphone, with no celebration, and third from the top. Ultimately, they made Swerve fifth priority on the show. AEW has a problem with priorities. We saw the Elite and Jack Perry exit an Uber, which was obviously more important than Swerve Strickland winning the world championship. And we saw Trent Beretta and Orange Cassidy before that. So by my optics, Trent Beretta and Orange Cassidy and the Elite are more important than the guy who made history as the first black AEW world champion. Then he gets a match with Kyle Fletcher. Kyle Fletcher, I have already documented, has not won a match since October 14th, 2023. That match was a number one contenders match, or in their eyes, an eliminator match, meaning if Kyle Fletcher won and beat the world champion, he would get a title shot at Swerve Strickland. The same Swerve Strickland that wrestled Samoa Joe in a barn burner, very difficult, grueling match, and he goes into Wednesday's show struggling against a guy who has gone winless on national television all year. How exactly does that make Swerve Strickland look? Doesn't really make Swerve look good at all now, does it? You see, for all the tribal fucking virgins out there that wave the flag of AEW, AEW took their biggest babyface right now in Swerve Strickland, who made history, the AEW World Champion Swerve Strickland, and did not present him as a world champion. WWE would have never done that with Roman Reigns. WWE would have never done that with Cody Rhodes. So why are you comparing the two companies when clearly one did it right and the other fucked up? Now, people are comparing this same situation to Carmelo Hayes and Cody Rhodes. That was a number one contenders match. This was a non-title match. That match never should have taken place and had no business being on national television at all. This match, you got an NXT call-up who's coming up for the first fucking time officially on the main roster, whose entire gimmick is to shoot his shot, be cocky, and showcase how good he is against the best. There was dialogue. He gave you a reason why he was doing what he was doing. And Cody Rhodes is standing there because he was in the same position as Carmelo Hayes, and he knows and appreciates that, and took him up on his offer. The match was made. No championship on the line. There wasn't no fucking contender match where if Carmelo beat him, which we knew he wasn't, he'd be getting a championship match. This is a different administration. This is not Vince McMahon. Triple H doesn't do, you know, the number one contendership matches that Vince McMahon used to do or the eliminator matches that Tony Khan does now. If he does it, it's a rarity. A rarity. So I don't see where the similarities are. Everybody's like, oh, JD needs to shit on this. No, I shit on AEW strictly because of the fucking structure of the show and the way that they presented their world champion. Garbage. WWE would never treat Cody Rhodes like that, and they're treating Carmelo Hayes as a fucking future piece of this brand and a future piece of the company. Kyle Fletcher's a great pro wrestler, but let's be real. Kyle Fletcher is never going to be a face of AEW. So no matter what he did in that match, it's already been forgotten as soon as the bell rings. WWE's not going to treat Carmelo Hayes the same way that AEW treated Kyle Fletcher. It's not the same thing. So spare me your fucking crying and spare me your excuses. You're trying to dance around the actual problem by pinpointing the easiest thing to call us out on. Meanwhile, you should all be upset that the fucking fact of the matter is Swerve is treated as fifth best. Fifth best on the show. You're world champion. Imagine that. Fifth priority on the show following a pay-per-view. And then all these tribalists, because now you got me started. Now all these tribalists are like, oh, well, Swerve is showing up on Saturday to cut a promo. Really now? Really now? Or maybe you're just too fucking stupid to actually use the brain that God gave you. If that was planned, which I know it wasn't, if that was planned, why didn't Swerve come out and say that he'd be saying something on Saturday, on Wednesday? Why didn't he say anything himself on Wednesday? No promo in front of the crowd, no promo after the match, no promo backstage. The announcers didn't mention anything. There was no graphic on Dynamite that Swerve was going to show up on Saturday and cut a promo right at the top of the hour on Collision. Because you want to know why it wasn't fucking planned. They included it in Saturday's show because of the online rage and backlash that they got for booking a piece of shit show. They realized that they fucked up. And they spin it as if it was planned. And the AEW tribalists, the cult of AEW, they go along like fucking lemmings. Whatever Tony Khan feeds them, they eat up. It wasn't planned. Otherwise, it would have been announced on Wednesday. You mean they're that inept and that fucking stupid to not announce a segment with your world champion, him addressing the fucking crowd on Saturday? No. It's better to announce it on social media than it is on fucking Dynamite, your A-show. And then the argument is, Oh, but they're giving Swerve Strickland the lead-in from the Miami Heat-Boston Celtics game. I don't give a fuck what the lead-in is. I don't give a fuck if Jesus Christ has his second coming and he's going to fucking resurrect somebody live on national television. I don't give a fuck what the lead-in is. Doesn't change the fact that Collision is your B show. So what the optics tell me is that Swerve is not good enough to cut a promo on the A show because everything else that happened on that show was much more important than Swerve Strickland, the new AEW champion. The optics tell me that he's good enough for Collision, the B show, but he's not good enough for the A show on Dynamite. That's what it tells me. Here's a fucking spoiler for you fucking idiots out there with the fucking brain of a crayon. Dynamite is the A show. I don't give a fuck what happens anywhere else. If it don't happen on Dynamite, I don't give a fuck about it. If it doesn't get announced on Dynamite, I don't give a fuck about it. AEW needs to announce whatever's happening within their company on Dynamite because Dynamite is your A show. Dynamite is your number one audience. Any more fucking questions? Don't argue with me. You will lose. I don't want to hear from any of you fucking tribalists and elitists out there. Go take a fucking bath and clean yourself after 6 days of sitting in your own stench. You fucking geeks. It's not the same thing. You're arguing about this because you're grasping at straws to find anything that this company does wrong because you don't want to be blamed because your CEO is a fucking clueless hack. There's bigger problems over there than what happened here with Carmelo Hayes and Cody Rhodes. Open the fucking box. It's staring you right in the fucking face. Ridiculous. Moving on. David M. with another $100 super chat. People saying I should be a special guest. Get this to 99 likes for the 99 bomb. I would consider doing a visit if JD can rid his establishment of all the spiders first. I don't know, man. I just had the fucking pest guy come in here last week. There should be no spiders. I don't know where the fuck they came. Maybe Jesse did not pay the pest control, and they somehow got into the building because Jesse didn't pay. I was supposed to have a guy come in here, right?
I don't even know why I come here.
I don't know why you come here either, motherfucker. You're just as clueless as TK, okay? Moving on. Rey Mysterio and Dragon Lee. Tag team match against Angel and Berto. This match went 5 minutes. When I tell you 4 minutes of it lasted in the commercial break, and we barely got a minute of it, I kid you not. This match went 5 minutes, and 90% of it took place in the commercial. Dragon Lee and Berto made tags. Mysterio took down Angel. Mysterio then went to the top rope and came off with a seated senton. Mysterio followed up with a code red. Mysterio made the cover, but Berto broke the count. Mysterio dumped Berto to the outside. Angel landed a kick to the gut. Angel went for a powerbomb, but Mysterio countered and set up Angel for a 619, which looked sloppy. Mysterio landed the 619, tagged in Dragon Lee. Lee delivered Project Dragon, which is basically a tilt-a-whirl reverse DDT, and he made the cover for the win. 1-2-3. At the end of the match, Santos Escobar appeared with Electra Lopez. He told them to hold the celebration. Escobar said he's many things, but the one thing he is not is a liar. He says he didn't attack Dragon Lee before WrestleMania 40, and he meant it when he said it. He said Lopez has been trying to track down the security footage for weeks. Escobar said she did, and the footage that you will find is very interesting. The video was shown on the big screen, And the video showed Carlito attacking Dragon Lee. Yes, Carlito attacked Dragon Lee. Lee was thrown into the wall, and Carlito beat him up, and he didn't look back to see who was attacking him. Carlito disappeared and then reemerged, pretending that he found Dragon Lee down, hurt, as someone beat him up. So as the video played, Carlito was pacing back and forth. He didn't know what to do. And then he ends up attacking Rey Mysterio from behind. Carlito hit Dragon Lee with a backstabber, and then he quickly exited the ring and ran through the crowd after jumping over the barricade. Wade Barrett said Carlito should get an Oscar for that performance. Mysterio checked on Dragon Lee in the ring. Now, everybody saw this coming. This is not really a revelation of sorts. I think we all knew Carlito was the one that attacked Dragon Lee here, including the fans in attendance. They're not surprised by this either. They didn't really do the LWO any favors the last few months. I think the feud between Legado and LWO at this point is dead, honestly. I'm tired of it. I didn't give a shit about seeing this tag team match tonight. I don't really give too much about Carlito turning on the LWO. The LWO should really just be disbanded at this point. It's over. Seemingly, everybody just wants to turn on Rey Mysterio. That's the cool thing to do in WWE now. Turn on Rey Mysterio. But I'll tell you what. Carlito making the transition from babyface to heel, I feel like, is going to fit him better. I think Carlito is just so much more better as a heel. He just comes off naturally as a bad guy. I feel like him as a babyface was keeping him just drowning on SmackDown. There was no excitement from Carlito. There was no heat coming from Carlito and anything that he did. He's been a complete non-factor. I feel like him going out on his own and doing his own thing as a heel, so much better. He didn't need to be aligned with the LWO. He's not even Mexican. So Carlito turning into a heel, I feel like, is going to be the best choice for him. Hopefully they got something planned for him. Maybe they move him to Monday Night Raw, honestly. We'll see what happens with that. But everybody saw this one coming. I love the footage being shown. I'm glad that they actually showed you what was happening. And Rey Mysterio, once again, loses another soldier in the LWO. Poor Rey. Bron Breakker. He went one-on-one with Cedric Alexander. This match lasted 30 seconds. Cedric got a couple of chops and a kick on him. He then did a handspring springboard off the ropes, and Bron Breakker met him with a devastating spear. 1, 2, 3. That's basically it. You know, the thing about Bron Breakker is, Bron Breakker is a very good professional wrestler. And they're treating him like fucking Ryback out there. Like, I get it. Bron's fast, Bron's tough, Bron's strong, Bron's intense. That's great. Can we actually get this guy to actually wrestle on the show? I'm tired of these squash matches. I know what the guy's capable of. Now, I know that they want to build him as this intimidating figure in front of the casual audience that may not know him. But still, I feel like Bron Breakker is worth so much more than fucking 30 seconds against Cedric Alexander. Hopefully, they move him to Monday Night Raw, and hopefully, they have a plan for him over there. Maybe he challenges for the Intercontinental Championship at some point. I could see that. Or maybe they call up Baron Corbin and they pair the Wolf Dogs together. Being that they broke up Imperium. And they just add Bron Breakker and Baron Corbin to the tag team division, which I would not mind, actually. Cedric Alexander, I mean, what a lost cause he is, huh? I thought they were planning a tag team with him and Ashante Adonis. What happened to that? I wouldn't be surprised if both of them move back down to NXT and get their feet wet in their tag team division, honestly. I think that's probably what's best for them. Corbin got drafted to SmackDown? Are they doing supplemental drafts right now? Are they doing supplemental drafts? I didn't think they were doing that right now. Let me check WWE.com. I didn't know they were doing that. Why is Baron Corbin on SmackDown? The draft continues. Look at this. Okay. WWE's tweeting out. Look at this. We got some more moves here. Did The OC to SmackDown. Shayna Baszler to Raw. And Zoe Stark to Raw. Okay. I mean, those really aren't groundbreaking moves there. I mean, nobody really moved anywhere. Cedric Alexander and Ashante Adonis to SmackDown. Alba Fire and Isla Dawn to Raw. Baron Corbin to SmackDown. And Ivar stays on Raw. So the only thing that happened there is Baron Corbin gets drafted from NXT to SmackDown. And Alba Fire, Isla Dawn get drafted to Raw. That was at 11 o'clock. And that's the latest on the draft moves. Again, nothing utterly groundbreaking, but those are the supplemental moves that happened at the end of the show, being that I just mentioned Baron Corbin and Bron Breakker being a tag team. Now I got to retract that because Baron Corbin is on SmackDown and Bron Breakker got moved to Monday Night Raw. Nick Aldis. He was in the war room coming out. Stratton stopped him. She asked if Aldis saw what she did last week. Stratton asked where her title match was. Aldis said he watched Tiffany, but it doesn't always operate on Tiffy time. Aldis said that he was going to send Stratton to the back of the line, but someone changed his mind. Aldis said Stratton will battle Naomi tonight and the winner will face Bayley at Backlash. Stratton asked, well, who had that bright idea? In walks Bayley. It was all Bayley's idea. Because Bayley was upset that her friend Naomi got her title match ruined. And then Bayley gave Nick Aldis the idea that Naomi should go one-on-one with Tiffany Stratton for the right to wrestle me at Backlash. Stratton said she had a Tiffany epiphany and said she was going to do what Bayley could not. And that is beat Naomi. Tiffany Stratton will be the women's champion sooner rather than later. It will not happen at Backlash. Nor should it happen at Backlash. Unless WWE wants to give her the championship and then give the money in the bank, women's money in the bank, to somebody else. I don't know. But I think it may be too soon. Michelle McCool, Mrs. Undertaker, and Tori Wilson made their entrance and they were about to go over round two of the WWE draft. So, we announced SmackDown gets Randy Orton. So no movement there. Randy Orton was already on SmackDown, and Randy Orton stays on SmackDown. Bron Breakker gets drafted to Raw. I'll touch on that one in a second. Nia Jax gets drafted from Raw to SmackDown, and Liv Morgan stays on Monday Night Raw. Another uneventful round. But I got a couple questions. Number one. WWE made a big deal about Nick Aldis signing a big-name free agent, Bron Breakker, gave him a contract, physically a contract on national television, and signed this guy to a SmackDown contract just a couple of weeks ago. And now he's a part of the draft being moved over to Monday Night Raw. I have to ask, why was valuable TV time wasted on Bron Breakker? To sign a SmackDown contract if the plan was only for moving him to Monday Night Raw. So stupid. So fucking ridiculous. Why wasn't Bron Breakker exempt from the draft like everybody else, being that he just signed the SmackDown contract just a couple of weeks ago? That doesn't make sense to me. And I previously mentioned the one thing that bothers me about these fucking WWE drafts. This is the second round of the 2024 WWE draft in a pool that has AJ Styles attached to it and LA Knight attached to it. But Nia Jax gets drafted in the second round, third pick on Friday Night SmackDown. Nia Jax gets drafted over AJ Styles and LA Knight. Now, I don't know who they got running the war rooms over there. But if you think that choosing Nia Jax is a better pick over AJ Styles and LA Knight, I got a whole bunch of what the fuck are you thinking in my pocket to give you. completely outlandish and completely fucking stupid. Like, who's choosing Liv Morgan over AJ Styles or LA Knight? Who? A fucking half-witted idiot is, I'll tell you that. Not someone with a brain who's trying to create the best roster possible. It's the one thing I hate about the fucking draft. Nobody's choosing Nia Jax or Liv Morgan over AJ Styles. Absolutely nobody. Something's got to be done to fix that. Paul Heyman. He was in the parking lot waiting for a black SUV to pull up, and we all knew who was inside. Solo Sikoa and Tama Tonga. The MFT. We finally now know what MFT stands for. Tama Tonga put it on his Instagram profile. Motherfucking Tonga. That's what it stands for. Not my family tree or something along the lines of what you guys were coming up with last week. My favorite Tonga. No. Motherfucking Tonga is what it stands for. Solo emerged in a black suit. Heyman said he would get the door for Solo from now on because he didn't immediately open the door for Solo. The tribal chief, Paul Heyman. Poor Paul Heyman, man. Slacking on the job. Solo asked if the bloodline had been drafted yet. Heyman told him that they have not been drafted yet. Solo asked why and then asked for the details. Heyman said Reigns withdrew from the draft since Solo is bringing in new members and no one knows what they're getting. Tama Tonga then appeared and he stared a hole right inside Paul Heyman's soul. Solo asked Heyman to repeat himself. All of a sudden, Kevin Owens, you see Kevin Owens barreling down the driveway to the arena and he blasts Solo Sikoa in the back and starts attacking Solo and Tama Tonga from behind. Officials break up this mayhem. Owens tried to break free, but man, oh man, there was a big brawl in the back, and Kevin Owens is out for blood. Kayla Braxton was on the stage, and she welcomed Bianca Belair to Cincinnati, the number one draft pick on SmackDown. Bianca made her entrance and joined Kayla on the stage. Kayla congratulated Belair on being the top pick tonight. She said that Belair and Jade Cargill have a chance to dethrone the Kabuki Warriors for the tag team championships in France. Gee, I wonder who's going to win that match. Belair said she wants to finally end it with Damage Control, and Cargill is the perfect person to help her do that. Belair said Damage Control is falling apart, and the final piece is the women's tag team titles. She said after her and Cargill defeat them, Damage Control will not have a reason to show up on SmackDown. Then we get Asuka and Kairi Sane coming out and trash-talked Belair in Japanese. All of a sudden, Jade Cargill shows up and stood next to Bianca Belair, and they all four start talking shit to each other. The Japanese ladies are speaking in their native tongue, and Bianca Belair and Jade Cargill are squawking at Kairi and Asuka. Some build for this match, huh? Gee, I wonder who's going to win the tag team titles, man. It's not going to be the Kabuki Warriors. If you're a fan of Asuka and Kairi, good luck, man. You got about a week and a day left with MS Tag Team Champions. Bubba Ray Dudley. Bully Ray, man. Oh, man, that WWE check must have cleared early, man, that he's now off of Busted Open Radio and now appearing on WWE television, man. Look at that. He's all busted open during the day and then shilling the E, the Fed, on Friday night. D-Von and Bubba Ray announced the third round of the WWE draft. Crowd chanted ECW. Crowd chanted, we want tables. And then Bubba Ray and D-Von put on their Dudley Boys glasses and read the following draft picks. SmackDown. First pick in the third round, they choose LA Knight. I don't know why they chose Nia Jax over LA Knight, but here we are. I guess they chose Nia Jax and LA Knight. Still waiting for AJ Styles, though. They chose Nia Jax over AJ Styles. Somebody get me on the phone with Aldis. Stat. Raw picks Ricochet SmackDown then picked The Bloodline, Solo Sikoa, Tama Tonga, and Paul Heyman. So this is the first group chosen in the draft, and it looks like all factions will now stay together instead of choosing one instead of all. And then Raw picks Sheamus. So largely through three rounds, this was a complete waste of time. Literally nothing changed. LA Knight was already on SmackDown. Ricochet was already on Raw. The Bloodline was already on SmackDown. And Sheamus was already on Raw. So through three rounds, the only difference that we got was Bron Breakker making a transition from SmackDown to Raw. Nia Jax from Raw to SmackDown. And in the first round, we got Carmelo Hayes joining SmackDown from NXT. Outside that, so far through three rounds, zero change. But I thought the foundation was going to change forever. Even in the supplemental draft, we got nothing. Baron Corbin is the only change. Zoe Stark stays on Raw. Shayna Baszler stays on Raw. The OC stays on SmackDown. Alba Fire and Isla Dawn move over to Raw from SmackDown. Who gives a shit? Ivar stays on Raw. Nothing changed. You look at something like this and you get excited for this, you think that things are going to fucking change. Nothing changed. Moving on. Tiffany Stratton versus Naomi. This was a number one contenders match for the WWE Women's Championship. And the right to wrestle Bayley in France at Backlash. So Bayley was on commentary. Naomi hit a Thez press right at the start of the match. Naomi then sends Stratton to the ropes, and Stratton stopped herself going to the outside. Naomi landed a drop kick to the outside, rolled Stratton back in. Naomi goes to the top rope. Stratton moved, draped Naomi over the second rope. Then she hits a devastating hip attack. Naomi came right back and landed a modified pile driver and a split takedown, split-legged takedown on the floor. We go to commercial break. We go from the commercial break, back from break. Stratton had control until Naomi hit a back kick and drove Stratton's head into the mat for two. The two landed the same move on each other, slamming each other down. So we had a double down for both ladies. Naomi came out of it with the upper hand. Hits an enziguri. Out of nowhere, all of a sudden, newly acquired and newly drafted Nia Jax showed up and attacked Bayley at ringside. Now, Bayley wasn't a part of the match. So it's all right if she put her hands on Bayley. It really didn't factor into the outcome of the match. All of a sudden, Naomi went over to go help Bayley because they're friends, and she saw Bayley being beat up by Nia Jax. And Jax attacked Naomi, giving Naomi the DQ victory over Tiffany Stratton. They didn't want to beat Naomi. They didn't want to beat Tiffy time. So they sent Nia Jax out there to cause what was an obviously shitty finish. Now we're getting a triple threat match. After the match ended, Stratton set Naomi and Bayley up, went to the top for the second week in a row, hit the prettiest moonsault ever on Naomi and Bayley at the same time. So now at the pay-per-view, Bayley will defend the women's championship against Naomi and Tiffany Stratton. Tiffany Stratton's not walking out as the women's champion. Bayley is not losing that championship when she hasn't had one title defense yet. Or maybe she did. She had against Naomi. That don't count, though. Give me a break. Tiffany Stratton, I'm glad that she's mixing it up at the top. We don't even know what brand she's going to be on, to be honest with you. Tiffany could move over to Raw. Naomi could move over to Raw. We don't know. We don't know anything. All I know is that this was a very uneventful night one. Very uneventful. Byron Saxton interviewed the Street Profits and B-Fab backstage. Next week, the Profits will challenge A-Town Down Under. A-Town Clown Under. For the tag team titles, B-Fab said they're going to take the heels down. And Austin Theory and Grayson Waller appeared talking trash. Bobby Lashley showed up, scared Theory and Waller off. Match is made for next week on SmackDown. Not the pay-per-view. Next week on SmackDown, where SmackDown will be held in France before Backlash. Teddy Long, player. Teddy Long, JBL. They came out of the war room, and they were about to announce round four of the WWE draft, the final round for tonight. The way you look at it, some of you, you're probably thinking that this is over. Karrion Kross and Scarlett were in the back. They grabbed the cameraman and asked him to follow. Kross took the cameraman to where the Authors of Pain were beating down the new Catch Republic. This is Tyler Bate and Pete Dunne. Pete Dunne. Kross looked into the camera and said the violence will continue until they get what they want. What exactly do they want? Do they want a tag team title opportunity? What do they want? Do they want to get drafted off SmackDown? What do they want? Do they want Tony Khan to book with some fucking logic and reason? What do they want? Do they want Swerve Strickland to be booked as a champion and not a fifth top priority? What does he want? Somebody go ask Kross what he wants. Player. And JBL, they're out there announcing the fourth round of the draft. SmackDown chooses AJ Styles. Wow, it took you long enough. You drafted Nia Jax over AJ Styles. AJ goes round four, first pick in the round four draft. Okay. Makes a lot of sense there. Raw gets the Alpha Academy. Chad Gable, Otis, Akira Tozawa, and Maxine Dupri stay on Raw. I guess that makes sense because Gable's going to be feuding with Sami Zayn, and Sami Zayn was exempt from the draft, so you can't move Gable off of a show for the title that he's currently fighting over. Again, uneventful. SmackDown drafts Andrade El Idolo. So we moved Andrade from Raw to SmackDown. Now he's on the same show for now as the rest of his Mexican buddies. Dragon Lee, Santos Escobar, Rey Mysterio, Legado del Fantasma, and the rest of them. Angel, Humberto. And Monday Night Raw, in the final pick of the fourth round, drafts Kiana James. Who? Kiana James. Okay. Now, if you don't know Kiana James is a decent talent. Is she main roster ready? I didn't really get a sense that she was main roster ready. I mean, again, the logic of the draft is a little outlandish, really. You know, I know Roxanne Perez probably couldn't be chosen because the champions were exempt. But let's be real, man. Who do you got down there? You got Lyra Valkyrie. Who? Mini Becky Lynch. Yeah, Lyra Valkyrie. You got her down there. You got Sol Ruka down there. But you're choosing Kiana James over Lyra Valkyrie. I don't get it. It's a little bizarre to me, but Kiana James is getting the call up. Nothing really surprised. I mean, it's surprising in the sense of, like, that's who you're calling up from NXT. I don't know how good she's going to do. I think, honestly, a lot of people are going to be underwhelmed with what they see. I mean, there's really nothing special there. She's got this gimmick of, like, strong, tough, independent businesswoman. She's all business when she's outside the ring, wearing suits, and she's doing business, and she's like, you know, Miss Wall Street. She's like a mini version of IRS. And then when she gets in the ring, she's all business. I mean, the character is, I guess, a little underwhelming. I don't know. I'm going to tell you right now, people are going to be underwhelmed with what they see. Is she good? I will say this about Kiana James. Kiana wrestles like somebody who wants to wrestle. She's not going to go in there and flimsy around. She's not going to fucking go out there and be upset that she broke a fingernail. She's going to pull your hair. She's going to beat the shit out of you. That's the one thing I do like about Kiana James. A lot of the women down there do wrestle like that. Kiana James wrestles like that. Lola Vice wrestles that like that. Bea Priestley wrestles like that. So, we'll see what happens, man. We'll see what happens. But this is a very underwhelming draft. Very. This may have been one of the more underwhelming first nights of the draft that we've ever seen. So, to go over what we did have as a change, 95% of the rosters on this night did not change. SmackDown keeps Bianca Belair. Raw keeps Jey Uso. Raw keeps Seth Rollins. And SmackDown adds Carmelo Hayes. Then we go to round two. They keep Randy Orton. Does SmackDown. Monday Night Raw keeps Liv Morgan. Braun Breaker adds to Monday Night Raw. Raw adds Braun Breaker. And then SmackDown adds Nia Jax. Then the third round. SmackDown's keeping LA Knight. Raw's keeping Ricochet. SmackDown's keeping the Bloodline. And Raw keeps Sheamus. So legitimately, the first three rounds, there was barely any change outside of Nia Jax, Braun Breaker, and Carmelo Hayes. And then we get round four, and we get AJ staying on SmackDown, AJ staying on SmackDown, Alpha Academy staying on Raw, Andrade moves from Raw to SmackDown, and Kiana James goes from NXT to Monday Night Raw. And then we get the supplemental draft, which happened at, close tonight. The supplemental draft that was going on during I was live. We get Baron Corbin getting called up from NXT to SmackDown. Ivar stays on Raw. Ashante Adonis and Cedric Alexander stay on SmackDown. They weren't. It's almost as if they aren't on the show anyway because they're never used. And Alba Fyre and Isla Dawn move over from SmackDown to Monday Night Raw. The OC, Carl Anderson, Luke Gallows, and Mia Yim stay on SmackDown. Shayna Baszler stays on Raw, and Zoe Stark stays on Raw. So the foundation of WWE has not changed at all. I'm assuming we will continue to get supplemental moves throughout the weekend. I know WWE did supplemental moves throughout Saturday and Sunday in previous years. I'm assuming we'll get that. But other than that, I mean, this was probably one of the more uneventful shows and drafts that we've seen. Caleb Braxton was in the back with Nick Aldis. He said he liked his selections and the future is bright for SmackDown. He says he has announcements for Backlash in France. Aldis announced a triple threat match for the WWE Women's title. Stratton versus Bayley versus Naomi. So that is added to Backlash. And Teddy Long announced Kevin Owens and Randy Orton will battle against the Bloodline. Tama Tonga and Solo Sikoa in a tag team match at Backlash. So there you go. Tama Tonga's first in-ring match will happen at the pay-per-view, which is also where I predict we will see Jacob Fatu debut for WWE. Because the rumor was, PW Insider reported that Jacob Fatu is debuting imminently within the next week or so, and within the next week or so is Backlash. He wasn't on the show tonight. He's not going to be on the show Monday, but I'll tell you where he's going to be. France. I'm expecting Jacob Fatu to debut with WWE this coming weekend. Main event. Carmelo Hayes versus Cody Rhodes. This was a non-title match in the main event of SmackDown. Match was fine for what it was. I mean, it didn't blow anybody away. They went 8 minutes. There wasn't really a lot of wrestling on this show tonight at all. Good for Carmelo Hayes. He brought the fire. He shot his shot. He wrestled Cody. They put him in the ring with Cody because they trust him and they believe in him and he's the future. You know, when Cody tore his pec and was out for about 7 months, when he got cleared to wrestle, he went down to the performance center and the guy that was sparring with him and getting him ring ready was Carmelo Hayes. This match went about 8 minutes, 9 minutes. It's a fine TV main event. WWE clearly is high on Carmelo Hayes, and they have been for years. They pushed him as the face of NXT, and they're going to push him as one of the faces of SmackDown. And I hope that they know what they're doing with him, just like they did in NXT on the main roster. That's all I can hope for. He's got it. And he's going to be a great addition to whoever gets him. And SmackDown's got him. The two locked up. Crowd chanted Cody. Cody landed his drop punch early. Hayes came back with a springboard takedown. Cody responded with a clothesline. And we go into a commercial break. We come back from break. Cody was in control. Hayes stopped Cody with a chop. The two eventually traded a bunch of chops back and forth. And Cody backdropped Hayes. But Hayes came back with a facebuster and a springboard fadeaway DDT, which looked brutal for a two count. Cody had a disaster kick on Carmelo. He goes for a quick cover. He gets a two count. So the two get up to their knees. They start trading shots. Cody lifted Hayes up, hit a running power slam for another two count. Cody landed a Cody cutter for another near fall. And then out of nowhere, Carmelo Hayes landed his first 48 before heading to the top rope. Cody moved, hit a super kick. And then all of a sudden, the two attempted double springboard moves. Cody on one side, Carmelo on the other, but both missed. Cody came down on his shoulder rather hard. And it looked like he was favoring his shoulder. I don't know if it was just him selling or if he legit hurt his shoulder. I hope that he's all right. Cody sold the shoulder pain as a result of the missed move. And then out of nowhere hits Crossroads anyway for the quick 1-2-3. So Cody Rhodes beats Carmelo Hayes in his debut match on SmackDown. It's not really much of anything. A lot of people are going to be like, oh, well, he lost his debut match. Yeah, but he's in the ring with the WWE champion. He called his shot. He's not supposed to win. After the match was over, Cody posed with the WWE title, and AJ showed up behind him out of nowhere. Cody and AJ engaged in a stare down and shook hands to close the show. Very, very lackluster SmackDown. Nothing really blow away. The foundation wasn't changed. The landscape doesn't look any different. A couple of pieces moved here and there. Hopefully we get more on Monday. Was this SmackDown worth it? No, this was a complete waste of time. Thank you guys very much for all your support. If you enjoyed today's podcast, if you enjoyed today's stream, please hit that thumbs up. Let me know what you guys are thinking down below. We really appreciate you. Let me know how you're feeling, how you're thinking, what you're thinking. Follow me on social media at JD from NY206, Twitter, Instagram, TikTok, and Cameo. Hit that subscribe button down below. Turn on the bell for all notifications. Make sure you guys go check out all the other content on the channel. There is plenty of it. We were live on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. Took Thursday off. Hit Friday hard. Had an upload today, earlier in the day, this afternoon. And obviously live tonight with the SmackDown post. So go check all that stuff out. Any more news? And we'll keep you guys updated throughout the weekend with some videos in the sub boxes. So make sure you guys go and keep an eye out for that. So hit that subscribe button and turn on the bell for all notifications. Continue to hit that thumbs up. We're looking for 1,000 likes. We got 904 likes. We need 96 more for 1,000. So if you guys are in the chat and have not hit the thumbs up, I would really appreciate it. Tonight's show is sponsored by Blue Chew. BlueChew.com. Code JD at checkout. All you guys need to do is pay the $5 shipping and handling for your free sample. You know, Carmelo Hayes, you know, he shot his shot tonight. He missed. But that's all right. Not everybody's going to hit every shot that they take. But I'll tell you what, man, you are going to have one hell of a percentage no matter where you're shooting from, behind the three-point line, behind the free throw line. I'll tell you what, man, LeBron isn't shooting 100%, but he's still one of the greatest players that ever lived. I'll tell you what, man, you go and take some Blue Chew and shoot your shot, You're going to be like Carmelo Hayes, man. You don't miss. Blue Chew is a unique online service that provides the same active ingredients as Viagra and Cialis, but in a chewable tablet, and it comes at a fraction of the cost. You guys can take them anytime, day or night. Plan ahead. Take it. Be ready whenever that opportunity arises. And the process is very simple. You're going to sign up at BlueChew.com. You're going to consult with one of their online medical providers, their experienced medical providers. And once you get approved, you're going to receive your prescription within days. No questions asked. And it's all done online. No waiting in line at the pharmacy. No awkward conversations. No conversations with strangers. No doctor's office visits. And the best part is, they are made in the USA, prepared and shipped directly to you in a very discreet package. So why not benefit from that extra confidence that Blue Chew provides and give it a shot? BlueChew.com, code JD at checkout. Make sure you guys use that promo code JD for your free sample. All you have to do is pay the $5 shipping and handling. Michael Krause with a $2 Super Chat. Good Friday, JD. I hope you have a great weekend, bro. Michael, you too, brother. Omni slash Strife. Oh, man. I wonder what type of gaming you like to play, bro. What's your favorite game? New membership. Thank you, bro. Lauren with a $5 Super Chat. Draft was predictable. Glad Randy Orton and Cody Rhodes are on the same brand now. Feud next year possible. Nia on SmackDown. OMG. SmackDown has the better roster. Tony Brown with a $4.99. To be honest, very underwhelming show, JD. Absolutely, Tony Brown. You are 100% correct. Burn Rel with a $9.99. Mello and Cody match didn't have a story. Y'all gonna keep that same energy y'all have for AEW? No. Get out. David M., thank you for the $100 super chat. Lou with a new membership. Lou, what the fuck are you drinking, Lou? Louie, what's up, brother? David M., another $100 super chat. Basic with a $4.99. Spider down. There's been a death on the live stream. Here's a fiver for a deluxe water. Thank you, Basic. I appreciate that. Though I feel very itchy, man. I'm quite nervous. I don't know if I killed him. I have to check after the stream is over. David M. with another $100 super chat. David, thank you for your generosity, brother. Lewis with a $1.99. You're the fucking best, bro. No competition. Lewis, I know. I mean, the streets are pretty dull out here, bro. There's no competition. There's nobody that's doing what we're doing. Nobody. Snowman Khan with a $6.99. It wasn't a neck brace around my neck. It was something else that keeps my eyes wide open. I didn't mean to say Harvey. I meant to say Coke. Oh, never mind. Snowman Khan, thank you for your generosity, bro. Take it easy, bro. Go get some sleep, Snowman Khan. You're going to need it, man. Michael Krause with the $2 Super Chat. The spider will be watching you sleep, JD. I hope the fucking God not. David George with a $1.99 leaves me a bunch of spider emojis as a Super Chat. Thank you, David. Sam Wrestling Fan with a new membership. Sam. What the fuck are you drinking, Sam? Reiki Wizard 777 with a $14.99 super chat. Appreciate you, JD. I think LA Knight would have been better served on Raw and Jay on SmackDown. I agree. That would have been a nice swap. I like the way you think, Wizard. Justin Combs with a $1.99. Can we get an old school OG off the script intro? No. Who do you take me for, Justin? You take me for some fucking bum? You want subpar graphics and fucking bedroom streamers. You go listen to the other people that are currently live with me right now. Not me. We do things a little bit differently around here. David M., thank you for the $100 super chat, brother. CM Punky, Tony Khan is a dickie. Demeter Bullying with a new membership. CM Punky, thank you, brother. David M. with another $100 super chat. David is a fucking beast tonight, man. Thank you, bro. B.W. Rosas with a $2 super chat. TK just never learns, does he, JD? AEW is not WCW. No, we don't do Mr. Dips anymore, man. We're not about Mr. Dips anymore, okay? And we're not. We don't have.
Oh my God! Do you guys want to have a podcast party? Oh yeah! I tell you, man, this SmackDown was so great. You know what was even better? AEW Dynamite on Wednesday, man. You know Tony Khan, he can never do any wrong, man.
Clone Force and the new membership, a flock of morons. Thank you for your membership, brother. Appreciate you guys. Vinny with a $1.99. WWE Draft, where everyone stays on the same brand. It was very lame, Vinny. Very, very, very underwhelming. Yeah, nice. Jesus fucking Christ, man. I'm out of breath just doing the imitation, man. Imagine listening to that. Holy shit. True Crime Cult with a $5 super chat. Baron Corbin is back on SmackDown as well as a few others. Alba Fire and Isla Dawn got drafted to Raw after SmackDown went off the air. Great. Clone Force with a $4.99. I'm now a member of the OTS family, and I hope Cody Rhodes is okay after that botch in the match. Because I'm so worried. Do you think he's okay? TK looks stupid today. Yeah, Cody's fine. True Crime Cult with a $2 super chat. Melo gets drafted, then loses to Cody on the same night. He'll be fine. Carmelo's going to be fine, man. He ain't going nowhere. Fantasy Kid with 27 months. Dark horses rule. Man, it's going to be 81 degrees and sunny on Monday, man. I may take the dark horse out for the first time. I don't know where I'm going, but I just may take a drive down the street and get a Starbucks coffee, man. So all the old heads look at me. Oh, look at this youngin. Who does he think he is? James Marvel with a $100 super chat. Oh my goodness. Yo, JD, haven't given a bomb in a hot minute and wanted to show my appreciation to you. I finally finished my book, Through the Hard Times, and officially published Alter. Thanks again for helping me through those times. First 100 royalties to the OTS family. James Marvel, congratulations, brother. Thank you for being here, and good luck on that, man. I wish you nothing but the best. It's a tough venture, man. It's a tough thing to do. Let me get a round of applause emoji for my guy James Marvel in the chat. JaxL23 with a $20 super chat. Hey, JD, Tony Khan did an interview after the NFL draft on NFL Total Access, and he called WWE the Harvey Weinstein of wrestling. Tony Khan should fix his damn show before he thinks about talking about WWE. JaxL, listen, brother, I love you. Thank you for the $20 super chat. I got to ask you a question, though. Why do you think I don't know this already? Corey with a $10 super chat. JD got arachnophobia. You better not see one more spider during a stream or shit's going to hit the fan. KJ with a new membership. Thank you, KJ. Mr. Team Bring It with a $4.99. Bro, I'm high as fuck right now. Do you think Jon Moxley at some point returns to WWE in the future? No. Ali with a $4.99. Hey, JD, did you see the QR code during SmackDown of Uncle Howdy? Yes, I did. I don't care. I'm tired of the codes. We all know who it is. Just give me Uncle Howdy. Joseph Terrell with a $5 super chat. JD, why is everyone mad at Tony Khan? He was telling the truth about Vince McMahon being Harvey Weinstein. The thing is, Joseph, Tony Khan made a generalized statement that everybody is like Harvey Weinstein in WWE. Meanwhile, the poor innocent roster of men and women there were wrongfully depicted in the same sentence as a pedophile and a rapist. I don't know where you don't see where Tony Khan went wrong. Maybe he should get his priorities fucking straight and structure AEW right on Wednesday nights before talking about somebody else's company. The Joker's voice with a $10 super chat. First super chat, love the show, drinking Jameson. I love Jameson, brother. Thank you for the $10 and excellent choice in whiskey, my friend. Heisenberg with the 279. Cody landed hard on his arm. Hope he's okay. I think he is. Thank you, Heisenberg. Kylan M. The 499. Didn't know AJ and Cody actually never wrestled each other, considering they've been wrestling for 20 years. I'd take a trilogy. Me too. I do not think this is a one and done. I think this is at least a two pay-per-view show between Cody and AJ. Sham World with a $5 super chat. Only channel on YouTube I'm subbed to. You killed it tonight. Nice show, bud. Sham World, am I really the only channel that you sub to, man? There's a lot of great creators, man. Mr. Noob with a $5 super chat. Can you finally just admit that Demeter is the new TNT host? That guy makes good points, pal. No. No. And Jacob Donnelly, my brother Jacob, Jacob Donnelly with a $5 super chat. Hey, JD, curious on if you are a black metal guy. If so, any favorite bands in the genre? Jacob, that is a very good question. I can't stand black metal. I think black metal is one of the most egregious and ear-raking sounds in the metal genre. And if I was to only listen to one black metal band or one black metal album, a couple recommendations. There is a song by Matt Heafy of Trivium that he wrote completely. It was on the album Roadrunner Records United. Or Roadrunner United. It was called something Golden Age. Let me see if I could pull it up. Roadrunner United. There you go. Dawn of a Golden Age. Matt Heafy from Trivium wrote the song, and it's actually sung by Danny Filth of Cradle of Filth. It's a great fucking song. Matt Heafy's just a great guitar player. The only black metal band that I've ever listened to that I actually enjoyed is Dimmu Borgir. And the one album that I really loved was Kings of the Carnival Creation. I mean, the music is just phenomenal. So that's it. Black metal otherwise is a shit genre. And that's it. That's all we got. Guys, thank you so very much for all of your supports on the show tonight. I really appreciate all of you hanging out with me. Any more news? I will keep you guys posted on the podcast this weekend. We'll have some videos out. Make sure you guys follow me on social media, at JD from NY206, Twitter, Instagram, TikTok, Cameo. Hit that subscribe button down below. Turn on the bell for notifications. Go check out all the other content. We are nearing 159,000 subscribers. That's how close to 160 we are, guys. We are almost at 159. We are 49 subs away from 159,000 subscribers. Tuesday night, TNT, episode 47. I will be live with my guy Ango from The Ango Show. So tune into that Tuesday at 8:30. Tomorrow afternoon, I will debut the new intro to TNT on Twitter. So look forward to that. And then after next Tuesday's show, I will be unveiling the new co-host. the next Wednesday, I am unveiling the new co-host. So it's going to be a big week, guys. Lots of cool shit coming up. Really appreciate you guys hanging out with me tonight. Follow me on Twitter at JD from NY206. Twitter, Instagram, TikTok, Cameo. Hit that subscribe button down below. Turn on the bell for notifications. And make sure you guys on Spotify and iTunes. Also, shout out to you guys as well if you're listening to me. 5-star rating would be really appreciated. Leave a comment, leave a 5-star rating. Let's get the podcast up the charts, man. And tonight's sponsor, Blue Chew, BlueChew.com. Code JD at checkouts for your free sample. All you have to do is pay the $5 shipping and handling. SmackDown tonight, guys. No mas. Not a good show. Very lackluster. No change at all. Hopefully, we see a little bit better come Monday. And the foundation really is a little bit different. Until then, I will see you guys this weekend with more news, and then I'll be back live on Monday for night 2 of the WWE draft right here on Off the Script. Until then, guys, have a great weekend, and I'll see you Monday.